Call Back the Past.
...1912 saw the emergence of Japan as a major power. War was again present as Montenegro opened hostilities against Turkey, which in turn declared war on Bulgaria and Serbia. And while a young man from Vilna by the name of Jascha Heifetz began traveling as a violin soloist, established musical star Eugene Stratton created a new hit with this song.
Kill my lady love, kill my dove, my baby love. No gal for setting down to dream. She's the only queen that's gonna die. I know she likes me. I know she likes me. The case she says so. She's a lily of Langona. She is my lily and my rose.
In England, the Royal Flying Corps was established while the General Post Office took over Britain's telephone system. Theatres were booming, and a common sight at playhouses featuring chorus lines of pretty girls was a number of admirers who became known as stage door johnnies. Cecily Courtnage comments on them.
I can't say they waited to see me, but still, I don't blame them for that. But they were always there. It was very exciting. They'd come night after night sitting in the front row of the stalls. You know, it was a wonderful time, and flowers were handed up. Very, very exciting.
Time had arrived. One of the Americans who carried this new beat across the Atlantic was Peter Bernard.
Alexander's Ragtime Band by Irving Berlin. That tune blazed a trail of ragtime round the world in 1912. Over here you wondered, was it a passing craze? But of course ragtime and its successor jazz has stayed ever since. In America, we've known ragtime for years. I remember, at 11 years of age, standing on the piano in Tammany Hall, New York, singing, I'd give 100 if the gal was mine. That was one of the first ragtime tunes. Well, in 1912, we had a visitor from England, Albert de Corville, the producer. He wanted to take a ragtime troupe to London. So he came to Coney Island, the Blackpool of New York, where there were any number of cabarets. De Corville brought seven of us over to England. When we arrived, he engaged Melville Gideon as our pianist. And as the ragtime octet, we made our bow here at the London Hippodrome. What a night! The audience went crazy for this new music. And if you care to hear the Swanee River, play it in ragtime.
Come on in here, come on in here.
The invention of cellophane by Edwin Brandenburger and stainless steel by Henry Brearley contributed towards making life just a little bit simpler in 1912, as did the introduction of aquaflavine as an antiseptic. Scientific tragedy of the year was the deaths of polar explorer Scott and his party after having reached the South Pole. The self-sacrifice of Titus Oates is well known. This is how Scott recorded it in his diary, which was found with the bodies some months later.
The day before yesterday, poor Titus Oates said he couldn't go on. He proposed we should leave him in his sleeping bag. That we could not do and induced him to come on the afternoon march. In spite of its awful nature for him, he struggled on and we made a few miles. He slept through the night, hoping not to wake. But he woke in the morning. It was blowing a blizzard. Oates said, I'm just going outside. I may be some time. He went out into the blizzard, and we have not seen him since.
Books of 1912, Gene Webster's Daddy Longlegs, Zane Grey's Riders of the Purple Sage, Smoke Blue by Jack London, and Trent's Last Case by E.C. Bentley. An indication of the boom in the entertainment business was given by the yearly earnings of one of the leading showbiz personalities, George M. Cohan, of $1.5 million.
Way down on the levee, in old Alabama, the daddy and mammy, the deep from Tammy, on a moon. them all. While they are waiting, the banjos are syncopating. What's that they're saying?
What's that they're saying?
While they keep playing,
humming and playing,
it's a good year
for Robert E. Lee, that's supposed to carry the cause in the wind.
Oh, Lord, he
what's them jumping along?
He's jumping,
he's jumping along.
Up,
we'll take your bed, down, real well. Go down to the levee,
I said to the levee,
and join them.
One of the hits of 1912, a year in which America gained her 47th and 48th states, New Mexico and Arizona, respectively, and in which a split in the Republican Party after disagreement between Taft and Roosevelt paved the way to victory at the polls for the Democrats, Woodrow Wilson.
To look at the politics of the day from the viewpoint of the laboring man is not to suggest that there is one view proper to him, another to the employer, another to the capitalist, another to the professional man, but merely that the life of the country as a whole may be looked at from various points of view and yet be viewed as a whole. The whole business of politics is to bring classes together upon a platform of accommodation and common interest. In a political campaign, the voters are called upon to choose between parties and leaders. Parties and platforms and candidates should be frankly put under examination to see what they will yield us by way of progress. And there are a great many questions which the working man may legitimately ask and quest.
The Butterfly on the Wheel, Peg of My Heart, and The Little Women were successful plays of the 1912 season, which was further brightened by George Bernard Shaw's Andrew Cleason the Lion and Pygmalion. Amongst the musicals, none was more popular than The Count of Luxembourg.
Und aller Stammbaum leifer, da sitz ich wieder heifer, als letzte Sprossen ohne Geld und Hitte um die ganze Welt. So li-li-li-li-lari, das ganze Musikari, der spielt der Fall, ist nur ein Luxemburger Gang, die Flagge keinen Zweifel, du ruf die Wolf der Feuche, das liebe Li-li-lari-lam ist nur ein Buch.
Charles Pathé's first newsreel appeared in 1912, a year which also glittered with stars like Sarah Bernhardt in Queen Elizabeth, Anita Loos in The New York Hat, and the cinematic debuts of Mary Pickford and Douglas Fairbanks in separate pictures. Comedy on the screen was catered for by Max Sennett and his bathing beauties, While on the stage, the laughs came from Fred Emney and Sidney Fairbrother.
Ah, you wicked old cat, you. You wicked old cat. You're no lady. He'll sting you. He'll sting you. You're a woman. A woman. 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 You better run. The truth is bound to come out once I get hold of it. 17 times has she given me notice since 9:30 Tuesday last. Just because I owe a few false...
At the Olympics held in Stockholm, American Indian Jim Thorpe won both the pentathlon and decathlon. His triumph was short-lived. It was discovered that he'd played professional baseball 3 years earlier, and he was stripped of his medals. For South Africa, there was great triumph as K.K. MacArthur and C.W. Gitson ran in first and second in the marathon. But most headlines during 1912 were captured by women fighting for the vote. Leader of the suffragettes in Britain was Emmeline Pankhurst, who was accompanied on a window-smashing raid by Ethel Smythe, whose voice we hear now.
At exactly 5:30, one memorable evening in 1912, relays of women produced hammers from their muffs and handbags and proceeded methodically to smash up windows in all the big London thoroughfares, Piccadilly, Regent Street, and so on. Inspired by the knowledge that exactly at that moment, Mrs. Pankhurst was opening the ball with a stone aimed at a window of 10 Downing Street. As a matter of fact, Mrs. Pankhurst was not a cricketer, and in spite of much practice in my garden, her stone fell harmlessly in the area of number 10. But her companion's stone did its duty nobly. Nearly 200 women were arrested that evening. Some of us had been told off to attack private houses, and I had begged for Mr. Lulu Harcourt because of an infuriating remark of his. He was colonial secretary.
Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seath and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.